Now, next to loving God, the first duty of a Christian is to bring peace and goodwill to men. And you can see Paul at work in this. And here is our work. Maybe it's your work for tomorrow. Maybe it's your work for this week that is ahead. Whenever we meet a person in trouble, not just spiritual trouble, but any kind of trouble, you can be used of God to help that person and comfort them in any kind of trouble.
And welcome to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church. This is Ian Gallagher. Thank you for coming and joining with us here in the program. And I pray the Lord will speak to your heart, minister to your soul, bless you richly. We're continuing with the life of Paul. We're continuing to look at Paul on ship as he takes over basically from the captain, directs the issues of that ship in trouble, and brings great comfort to the souls of the Lord's people. That will be our message today, and I trust you'll stay tuned with us here. Now we're turning to our Bible verse for today, and that verse is going to be 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The world here is that rebellious world of fighting against God and resisting the will of God. The world here is not the created world. It is not the world cosmos, which God created in all its power and glory. But the world here is the depraved, sinful attitude of man, seeking his own way, seeking his own promotion, seeking his own devices. The Christian is surrendered to God and is in love with God's ways and hates the ways of sin. That's the mark of the new birth. We hate the ways of sin. God has given us a new heart, and that new heart cannot love sin. The new nature cannot love sin. Now, the old man, the old nature loves sin. The old nature loves to go the way of the world. The world is that which is at enmity with God, rebelling, resisting, opposing, will not submit to God. But the Christian is born of the Spirit and brought to delight in the Lord. And so we are commanded in this verse to love not the world. Now, why is this command even necessary? Because the world has a very powerful attraction. And there are times that even the born-again Christian may be lured with eyes to look upon the world as Lot was. And we may be tempted to consider those attractions and to fall for them. But we will soon find that they are bitter and they are against God. And so we are warned here to stay clear from those things that are anti-God, those things that are grieving to God and will lead us out of fellowship with Him. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Let that be our verse for today, to guide us, to guard us, to keep us from temptation and lead us not into the ways of evil. Let's unite in prayer and ask the Lord to guide us. Father in heaven, we pray that you'll bless your word to our hearts today and give us grace to trust thee, to rejoice in thee, and to go through with thee. We thank thee for the light of your word and its guidance to us. And I pray that that word will be as a lamp to our feet and a light to our pathway. Encourage every listener today and bless us in thy service. And may we be full of faith as Paul was on board that ship in the midst of the storm. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now stay with us as we turn to Acts 27 and looking at Paul on board the ship in the storm.
And you know, that's Paul through and through. That's the real man. Whether he's preaching about the destination of this vessel or he's preaching the doctrines of the gospel, Paul is not preaching his own opinion. He's preaching what God has said. And whether it's the doctrine of justification or the doctrine of resurrection, it's not what is his own opinion. It's what he has received. And if you read Galatians 1, He makes a whole lot that his gospel he did not receive from men, but he received it directly by revelation. And Paul was standing upon what God had taught him and revealed to him. And so this is the real Paul. He is declaring what God has said. Now, that is the way we must witness. That is the way that we must seek to win the world. Our task is not to go and give our opinion. Our task is not to go and deliver what we think. Our task is to go and deliver what God has said and say, I believe God, and call men to believe in that message as well. And so here was the basis for his word of good cheer. He had a very strong, solid basis. You'll notice too that he says that he was the servant of the Lord. Back in verse 23, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. That's it. I am only the messenger. I am not responsible for anything beyond what God has said, whose I am and whom I serve. And therefore he could give this word of good cheer. Now, the comfort of Paul's word, which was given to all on board, you will see in the very words of good cheer that every life would be saved. If you go to verse 30, and as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, he was saying to them, there's no need to flee. If you try to flee, you'll lose your lives. Now, there's a bit of rascality going on in verse 30, if you pay attention here. You'll see that these shipmen, these expert sailors, who knew the score more than anybody else, they were the ones that were trying to abandon ship. And they had another lifeboat of some kind that they were lowering down, and they were putting into the sea. And it says at the end of verse 30, under color, as though they would cast anchors out of the foreship. Under color, meaning under pretense. And they were trying to sneak out of the main vessel onto the lifeboat and make it to land and just say goodbye to everybody else. Let them perish. These shipmen. And they knew the case was hopeless. Not a chance of us surviving this. And they tried to take off on their own. And it was then that Paul spoke the word, except these abide in the ship, they cannot be saved. And the soldiers cut the ropes to the life vessel, and that game was up. And the shipmen had to stay on board, whether they wanted to or not. They had no opportunity of fleeing after that one. Now, what was it that scared off these shipmen? Well, if you look at verse 28, you'll notice that the water was getting more shallow. It says in verse 28 that they sounded and found it 20 fathoms. Now, a fathom, in rough measurement, is this. Stretch of your arms. It is now calculated at 1.82 meters. A fathom. By and large, in less scientific days of sailing, a fathom was this length. So you can imagine that they were sounding, dropping down a rope with a weight, and found it 20 fathoms. And then they went a little further, and they sounded again, and they found it 15 fathoms. So it was getting more shallow and more shallow, and the next thing, they were going to hit rocks. So these shipmen who knew the score tried to abandon ship. But that whole approach was scuttled by the Apostle Paul. No need to flee. No need to unduly fast either. If you go down to verse 33, They, for 14 days, had refused food. And Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, "This day is the 14th day. Ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing." And of course, these were superstitious men. They thought the gods of the sea and the gods of the wind were all against them. And by fasting and this approach, that they would try and appease the gods. And Paul said, "I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health. For there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you." He was trying to tell them, be of good cheer, eat up. And you'll notice in verse 36 that they did take food, and they were all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. And so Paul was a comforter to everyone on board. He brought hope to men who had no hope. He brought assurance to men who saw nothing but black clouds and boiling seas. That's a man of faith. A man of faith amongst men that knew nothing of God. This is the Apostle Paul. This is the man who stands in the midst as a messenger from God to bring great cheer and comfort.
Once aimlessly I wandered, no hope within my soul, a vessel with no pilot's hand, no haven and no goal. I tried to find an answer to calm the troubled sea. I drifted with no sight of land till Jesus rescued me. He whispered, "Peace be still," to me. My heart obeyed His will. His word made calm the rolling sea. When He said, "Peace be still," and now I have a captain, He'll guide, I know He will. I've given Jesus full command since He said, "Peace be still." Oh, friend, if you are drifting, there's just one thing to do. Trust Jesus is the one demand. He'll whisper peace to you. Peace be still to me. My heart obeyed His will. His word made calm the rolling sea. When He said, "Peace be still."
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church. This is Ian Gollaher, and I do thank you for tuning in, joining with us in the program. I pray that the Lord will draw near, fill your heart with great grace through His Word today. Here is a man standing in the most difficult of situations, and yet he is full of faith and full of blessed assurance. And my prayer is that you will have that blessed assurance in your Christian life. As you live for God day by day, that your heart will be full and reassured, that there will be no doubt, that doubt and unbelief will be banished from your soul, and you'll be given that grace and victory to live in the full fellowship of the gospel. We're returning now to Acts chapter 27, verse 42, Paul on the ship continuing to direct operations in the midst of this storm as the ship is broken up, and yet there is no loss of life, just as he said. God keeps his word. God keeps his promises. And that is the consolation of every Christian, that we can trust the Lord implicitly, and we can find our encouragement in him. And I pray that through the program here today, that you will be greatly encouraged and greatly blessed. Stay tuned with us as from the pulpit of our church here in Cloverdale, that we let the Bible speak afresh today.
And then in verse 42, you'll find that there was no need to kill the prisoners. When the ship did fall into the creek and rocks and was being broken up, there was the proposal that they should kill all the prisoners, lest they swim away and find freedom. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, notice the respect that there was to Paul here. Earlier on, the Julius, as he was called away back there at early part of chapter 27, when he was brought onto the ship at first, that he entreated Paul courteously. Paul was a man that even though he was a prisoner on board, he had an aura. He had a standing and a stature that Roman centurions respected. And now that all that he had said and the cheer and the comfort that he had brought, this centurion sought to save Paul's life. And then the end of the story, verse 44, that all were saved. They all got to land. The ship was broken up, but everyone's life was completely saved. Now, how glad these sailors, passengers, and prisoners on board should have been that they had a man of God as Paul with them. And literally, we can say that Paul was the instrument of God to save their lives. God blesses the wicked because of the righteous. I want you to notice this here. God could not destroy these sailors with Paul on board, because Paul must see Rome. He must stand before Caesar. It's a situation that God, like God, could not destroy Sodom and Gomorrah while they were righteous living in the city. Why is that? Because the Christian is the salt of the earth. The Christian is what preserves the wicked from perishing and destruction. The Christian is the savor of life in this world. And God uses the life of his people in this world to keep the world in check. Now, next to loving God, the first duty of a Christian is to bring peace and goodwill to men. And you can see Paul at work in this. And here is our work. Maybe it's your work for tomorrow. Maybe it's your work for this week that is ahead. Whenever we meet a person in trouble, not just spiritual trouble, but any kind of trouble, you can be used of God to help that person and comfort them in any kind of trouble. And we as Christians need to learn the art. We need to learn the grace of encouraging and comforting the weary, the weak, the troubled, and those that are filled with care in this life. And there are many that are filled with despair and hopelessness that don't know where to turn. And just as Paul found, there's a time when you can't say anything. There's a time when people won't listen. But there are those times when people are in such turmoil and trouble that they will listen and they will receive that word of counsel and even the word of the gospel. A little child can be used of God to comfort someone in great sorrow. I read of a little girl who came home to her mother and said, "Mother, I stopped with Widow Brown, for she said that I comforted her soul." And her mother said, "I dare say you did, dear." And the girl said, "Mother, I do not understand how I could be of any comfort or any use to her, for I cannot tell her anything. But I put my cheek against hers when she cries, and I cry too. And she says that that comforts her." That's the innocence of a child. And there are those in this life that just need a kind word, that just need a friend, a word of hope, a word of cheer, a word of encouragement through a dark patch of life. And here is Paul on board this ship, a great example to us. One man on board who knew his God, and God was speaking to him. And as God was speaking to him, he could speak to the others, "Be of good cheer, for I believe God." And so we take this example to heart. Let no one ever say, "No man cared for my soul." We need to comfort God's people and be a comforter in the midst of a world of sorrow. There are many Christians that know loneliness. There are many of God's people that are cast down, and they need a friend and a helper. You say, "I can't preach, I can't do much." Well, you can just speak a kindly word. You can come and say, "Look, I've read my Bible today, and the Lord encouraged me. And I'd like to just read you what I found to be a great encouragement to my heart." And the Lord can use that in a wonderful personal way. And you could be just like Paul, standing on ship in a person's darkness of life, a messenger of hope, bringing that word of counsel. And the last thing that we want to be known for is a bearer of ill tidings, a discourager. The last thing that we want to be is the opposite to Paul. Paul, he said to them, "You should have listened to me. You left the fair havens when the south wind was blowing softly, and I told you you shouldn't have left Crete, but it wasn't good enough for you." Oh, Paul could have rubbed it in. Paul could have just hit them over the head with all the negatives that he could find. But no, he said, "Be of good cheer. I believe God." And that's the kind of Christian, that's the kind of encourager that you and I need to be. Yes, there's a time to put a person right about where they went wrong. But we need also to be bringing them that word of hope that will lead them in the paths of blessing and encouragement that will see them to safety. Just think of it. One man on board that knew his God, that really was the instrument of saving all. How he was greatly used. And God can use you in your family, in your circle of friendships, in all the crises that arise, and make you that voice of hope in darkness.
Jesus, the very thought of thee with sweetness fills my breast. But sweeter far thy face to see and in thy presence rest. Nor voice can sing, nor heart can frame
This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. Call me, please, at 604-897-2040. For all the details of our broadcasts across Canada, go to ltbs.ca.
This broadcast comes to you today from the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale, located at 18790 58th Avenue, Surrey, at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca, and there you can find gospel articles, links to our sermons, a gospel booklet called A New Beginning, and a link to watch our services online. You're warmly invited to attend any of our Sunday services at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. to meet with us as we worship God and to hear the preaching of His precious word. We also meet for Bible study and prayer every Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Our Sunday School for Children and Adult Bible Class meet every Lord's Day at 9:30 a.m. from September to June. You can contact us at 604-567-1091. Alternatively, you can email me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. Again, for all this information, please visit our website at cloverdalefpc.ca. Our burden is that you will hear and understand the gospel that will bring you to know the Lord Jesus Christ and His great salvation. This is Pastor Andrew Fitton. Thank you for listening today, and be sure to listen Monday to Friday at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our one-hour church service, as we worship the Lord through the ministry of His Word.